Hi, this is Adam Levy, the alcohol professor and founder of the New York International Beer Competition, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 108. Hello, and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Aria Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. This week, we're speaking with Adam Levy and finding out how cider can be submitted into the New York International Beer Competition and how, by your participation in this competition, can help increase visibility for cider. There's going to be more on that chat in just a moment. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere, well, you are going into your solstice period, aren't you? Just as we are in the Northern Hemisphere. And sadly, your light is going to be diminishing. But the cool part of that is that you're coming into the period of time where you're able to tend the different palms, and soon it'll be harvest time before you know it, in just a couple months. Those of us in the Northern Hemisphere have been light deprived for a while. It's actually not that long. It's probably only like a month. But for me, it feels like eternity. And I always look forward to this particular week and the date, December 21st, which is winter solstice. And traditionally, over the years, there's always been a big fire outside and lots of singing in hopes that Santa Lucia will come our way. Now, I know that there are makers in Sweden. How you doing? How you doing, everybody out there in Sweden? You know who I'm talking about. Let's see. There is Andreas Sugren at Bromlin Cider. And there was a chat with Andreas, so you have to check that out. And there's some new makers working with Andreas. That's David and his wife, Tegan. And Tove works there too. Those are the main folks I know in Sweden. And I've been following along on Tegan's post on Facebook, and she talked about Santa Lucia, which actually they celebrate on December 13th. I don't know too much about the tradition, but of course, being American, we have a way of kind of moshing everything together, which is what we do at our household. And I haven't done it recently, but it was always a fun gathering to have a big fire on the longest day of the year, which is the day before solstice, and to celebrate the light coming back and sing, sing, sing until Santa Lucia shows up. And she typically does way out in the woods somewhere, and the kids' eyes start bugging out of their head when they see this being with candles on one's head walking through the woods. And the tradition that we have here is that if you're not singing loud enough, Santa Lucia won't hear you, and therefore she'll just go on to the next neighborhood and bring light back to their area. So it gets kind of crazy. Some really loud singing. Every song that you could pull out of the hat is sung, like Itsy Bitsy Spider and Choo Choo Train songs, you know, whatever, Hanukkah, Christmas. The sky's the limit to just keep on singing until Santa Lucia comes our way. And for me, it is such a relief, probably like you too, who is hoping for some longer days and to see the sunset again, which is, before you know it, it'll be time to go out and be pruning the orchard, and then it'll be apple blossom time. And if you love apple blossom time like I do, which is almost like the most magical time to be out in the orchard, where there's more flower blossoms in the world than there are people. It's just so fragrant and intoxicating. Then you might want to think about coming with me to the United Kingdom in April of 2018 as we are doing the Totally Cider Tour during apple blossom season in Somerset and Herefordshire, stopping at some amazing cideries along the way, drinking lots of cider, having local cheeses, and meeting with some renowned world cider makers, learning about Keeving and their bittersweet apples, and their Perry, of course, too. If you want to find out more about that, go to totallycider.com and register today, because that trip is going to be closing very shortly. Again, that's totallycider.com. You'll be able to find out more about that on the links in the show notes to this episode number 108. In the meanwhile, if you are like me and just digging this time of year, you know, you could sing a little bit of Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia. And see if she'll come in your way. It's a good time to raise a glass and have a fire and just hang out with good friends and family. So that's where I am this week, hanging up by the fire, drinking cider, and raising some good cheer. I know it's going to be a number of fires outside coming up and bringing in the new year. I hope you're having a good time during this time. It's such an amazing period of time. It could be overwhelming, but with a good glass of cider, it just makes everything a little bit smoother. So let's keep rolling. I got a new tip for you for CiderCon this week, coming right up. Coming up in January, actually January 31st, is CiderCon, which is the annual conference for the United States Association of Cider Makers. And on that Wednesday afternoon, they have what is called the Cider Share. And there's just a couple tables left. And that means that any cidery that wants to be pouring needs to register now so that they could get all those kind of bells and whistles set up and make sure that you're, you know, front and center. It's a fantastic time. I always have a blast. It looks like they're going to have a VIP hour where distributors and media get to come in and bop around. So that means I will definitely be bopping around with my recorder and able to do little mini chats. That's a great way for me to get a flurry of folks and get as many cideries out there into the airways as possible. So check that out. Cider Share is really a great way to showcase your ciders and to get feedback, and typically just a big smile and hell yeah, that tastes good. That's something really nice to hear, isn't it? When you're working so hard on your cider, whether you're commercial or non-commercial. I love that feeling. So CiderCon's coming up. Make sure to register now before January 8th, before the price starts going up. So you got a little bit of a window here if you're still like sitting on the fence, and I hope you aren't. And if you're an enthusiast, you know, you could attend too. So just go to CiderCon, Google that. You'll find a link to that in the show notes. Well, it is now time to grab a glass and join this chat with Adam Levy, the founder of the New York International Beer Competition. We're going to begin with having him describe his background, and then we'll go right into why this particular competition is so important for cider and how it can serve the cider category in a way that other competitions aren't necessarily hitting the same mark. So let's now all grab a glass and join this chat.
I started off as a craft beer freak. I was on the first tour of Brooklyn Brewery almost 20 years ago when they opened up officially. Then I became a whiskey freak, and I helped launch a whiskey magazine. And then I read an article, and I then started the New York International Spirits Competition almost 9 years ago, followed by the New York International Wine Competition, and then the New York International Beer Competition. And we're going to our 7th year, the New York International Beer Competition. I also have an internet security company based in New York with my partner. And we cover basically or medium large clients in New York, but liquor is really my passion. And this is my creative outlet, and I really enjoy being in this industry and running the competitions because it's my philosophy of trade buyers, it's my involvement with the producers, it's meeting the consumers. It's really an enjoyable experience for me. It's been that way for 9+ years. And then I had the opportunity around 5 years ago to expand globally, and I now run beer, wine, and spirits competitions in Berlin, Germany, and Melbourne, Australia. And we just launched a new one in Asia, in Hong Kong, this back to September for beer, wine, and spirits. So it allows me to travel the world, drink good stuff, and meet fun people. So like I said, my parents are finally proud of me. It took a long time, but they finally are a bit proud of me, what I'm doing. My dad loves Father's Day.
Yeah, I love that. When I told, you know, or showed my dad how much wine I had down in my cellar so many years ago, he thought, oh my God, my daughter's an alcoholic. And I said, Dad, you know, if your daughter was an alcoholic, there'd be no wine in the cellar. So, you know, parents really have to, you know, get it. What it means to be an alcoholic professor is really to be an aficionado. And it sounds like you're all over the map. And that's pretty exciting. I really want to talk to you about this beer competition and the fact that you do have both mead and cider. Because we're hoping that folks listening will send their commercial ciders your way. So let's start there. This is in its 7th year, the beer competition. Is that correct?
You're in a 7th year. And I'd like to quick mention before I can, we do the cycle of the alcohol professor. And that's something I took that title on. I know more than the average person, but there's a lot of people out there who know a lot more than I do in each individual subject. So I know more than the average person, as you do, but there's a lot of people we know who have much more intensive knowledge, PhD level of, let's say, how cider is made, or where Bordeaux wines are made, and how whiskey is made. So I know more, but I know a lot of people know a lot more than I do. And our site, the Alcohol Professor site, I have a wonderful editor who runs it, helps run it for me, Amanda Schuster. We cover beer, wine, and spirits, and we include best of. We cover different type of categories, and it's a really well-read site. We have around 45,000 unique hits a month right now, and we also try to promote the competition winners in the article. So, for example, here are 10 ciders to buy for the Father's Day, and probably 6 or 7 will be winners from our competitions around the world.
Of course, you could also put that in for Mother's Day, because in the cider category, it's pretty evenly split between genders, which I think is unique for the category of libations known as cider. But I did look at your site, and it is really informative, and we'll have certainly a link in the show notes to that and be talking it up. So, Adam, this competition coming up on February 11th in 2018, you are soliciting now for cideries, commercial cideries, both in the U.S. and globally to submit their products. Let's talk about that, because right now there is a posting about the cider categories, and you are using the categories that were just recently listed by the United States Association of Cider Makers. And at the same time, you also have international ciders, too, that don't necessarily follow that category. So how do you manage that during the competition?
That's a good question. We took the approach this year of working with the United States Association of Cider Makers. We saw they put out the new 10 categories. We like working with the associations because this way their producers and their members of the association feels their product, whether it's in the wine or sake or soju, we have those conversations with other producers, are judged in the right categories. So we are using the 10 categories from the United States Association of Cider Makers. And we also will be having additional cider categories for those who are overseas. Probably around 15-18% of people submit to our competition are not even available in the United States. These are international producers from Spain and from and England and other parts of the world who are looking to get into the United States. And we try to make sure their categories are recognized also. So we'll get those communications from those type of producers, say, hey, what category should I be in? So make sure, but also at the same time, is the judges will know that it's a Spanish cider versus a UK cider or it's an American cider, along with the digital category. So that information is given to the judges. Mm-hmm. And one thing I'd like to mention also is that all our judges, male and female, because we have a nice even mix of male and female judges, are trade buyers. And we're the only competition out there where all the judges are trade buyers. They judge the liquid by its category, by its price. So these judges will know the right category along with the price for that cider or mead.
For listeners who aren't necessarily in the industry, but are consumers listening to this and want to kind of check out the winners once it happens, what are trade buyers? What do you mean by
that? Sure. And our this is a philosophy I came up with when I first did the competition with the spirits 9 years ago. And my mentality, my philosophy has always been that trade buyers truly know what consumers want better than the so-called experts. And what price? Because most people buy based on price. If you walk into a liquor store and say, I want to buy, I got $12 to spend for a 4-pack or 6-pack for cider, what do you recommend? Or I want a peach cider, or I want a flavored cider, or I want English dry, whatever it may be, what do you recommend? Because I have a certain price put in my head. So these judges are buyers, and they are retail store buyers. They're people who own craft beer bars. They're importers and distributors. People buy based upon price. Because you may pour the most amazing cider in front of them, so that's amazing cider. But let's say it's $30 a 4-pack. I say, you know, that's good. It's really phenomenal, but if it's $30, not a big draw. Maybe it's a bronze. If that same cider is at $15, it'd probably be a gold medal because that's a phenomenal cider for that price. People buy based on price. Why not judge based on price? So that's why we have trade buyers. And these, again, are trade buyers in the New York metropolitan area who see everything. And again, they come from behind the bar, and they're the orders and the buyers.
Which was really what interested me, because I think this is going to bring some very keen data coming to the cider makers and the cider industry overall to see what happens. And you've been doing this. It's not the first year you've had cider at this competition. Cider, you know, most folks might not know, but it's made much like wine. It's not brewed as beer. It's fermented as a grape wine would be, or fruit wine. Why put it in the beer competition versus wine? Because we have a lot of orchard-based cider makers who are probably listening to this saying, I don't really want to send it to something that isn't going to kind of be at that same scale or appreciation like a fine boutique wine. So how does that work in the very different competitions? And with that, to kind of couple on that, is do you see a category eventually happening where it's the cider competition versus cider being in the beer competition? Is there a reasoning behind this?
Well, that's a good question.
It's a big one.
It's multifold. It's multifold. So let me try to answer a couple different ways. Mm-hmm. First off, I guess from a logistical point of view, I've always viewed the buyers for beer and cider the same way. And most of the times, if you walk into a liquor store, those are probably the same people buying for both categories. As a wine specialist, as usually a spirit specialist. And most times, it's the beer cider people who are that focused. So it's, for logistical purposes, we use the same judges, we have it under the beer category. If we got to the volume of, let's say, 500, 700, 800 submissions, I definitely would have no problem splitting off logistically the competition to be a beer competition, a cider competition. I think we're not there numbers-wise. I think there's enough feedback from the associations and the producers saying we want this. I could still do it the same day logistically, and that should be a problem. We used to have sake in the wine competition. The Japanese Sake Sochi Association for Japan said to me, we want to move us to the wine competition. I said, that's fine. You know, you're the producers. I want to make sure you're judged the right way. We made that decision for 2018. Sake is now going into the wine competition 2018. Mm-hmm. So we're agreeable. We're amenable. We want to make sure whatever someone makes is being judged the right way. So I guess in quick summation, we have beer and cider judges in the same day. If there's enough feedback and requests from a separate competition name for it, which I understand, and the numbers are there, we definitely have no problem splitting that off and create the near-contentional cider competition. in those social categories. I do understand their concerns that way.
Right.
I'm open to that.
Well, that's good to know, which I guess in turn, the commercial cider makers listening can help bring that category about by submitting their ciders to be judged and upping, you know, the number that you have there currently. Let's talk about the awards themselves, because you do break this down into a couple different levels. You have the gold and bronze and silver, and then you have regional awards. So can you talk about how medals are awarded and what is involved with that? If a cidery does receive that, what they then can do with that award?
Sure. So we're not a medal factory. I'll say that up front. We're not here to hide something where you write a check, you get a medal. That's third grade soccer. That's not my philosophy or my long-term policy. Probably on average, less than 50% win a medal in our competition, because we want it to be a respectable competition, not a medal factory. So bronze means the buyer would buy it. Silver means they really like it. Gold means they love it. Again, it's all by price point. And double gold means the whole panel agrees that it is a double gold medal. So if you have three judges, which you have, we have 3 to 5 judges per panel. And you have, let's say, one person says gold, one person says bronze, one person says no medal, one person says silver. They all hash out a consensus decision, and they will argue that point. Now, as I mentioned earlier, let's say you have amazing cider that's $30 against price point. So they'll take that into consideration, whether it's at $30, it's a bronze. But that same cider was at, say, $20 or $18, that may be a gold medal winner. And this is also good feedback from a buyer perspective back to the producers, because they can see what are they at the right price point in the industry. That's good feedback for them. Because I've had those calls say, I only want a bronze, I didn't want a double gold, like I won this other competition. I looked at the notes and said, hey, your cider may be too expensive for the market, that's why you got this medal. So it's a feedback that way. Now, once the medals are awarded, bronze, silver, gold, whatever it is, I may then put my marketing hat on and see what cider or mead stood out. And let's say, for example, a certain cider producer from Wisconsin did really well with other Wisconsin cider makers. I may make that person, that producer, cider producer of the year for Wisconsin. So sometimes we go back and look and see if any individual medals can be awarded based upon if they stood out from the from their competition on an individual level. What do winners get when they win in our competition? Well, they win a couple of things. One, they actually get the physical medal. It's a 2-inch medal, which I think is nicely designed and it's real. They also get the digital images, which they can put on their point of sale material, big banners, knock yourself out. We want you to promote the competition. If you want to do a license on the bottles, that's fine. We can work that out with you, or stickers, that's fine. We can supply that for you also. We also post it in press releases and in our website, the winners. And again, we also try to promote that also through our website, The Alcohol Professor. Again, we also are quoted numerous times in the different publications around the country and the world. Of course, they win in our competition. We may get a call from Cincinnati newspaper, from the beer cider writer, saying, can you tell us about the competition, who won, why this person won? So we're always open to promote the competition, the winners, to the press.
Right, a lot of cross promotion.
Hope that helps.
Hearing that, yeah, that makes absolute sense. So,
yes.
when judging, you know, a lot of competitions might use the beer assessment. You know, BJCP, I think it is. What are your judges using, and how does the price point come in order to judge the ciders?
Are you referring to the beer or the cider?
I'm referring to cider, and I know that a lot of competitions are kind of wrestling with that, both in the U.S. and around the world. They're kind of making their own setups for how to judge it and the sheet that they're using for judging. So they've been pulling in on different, you know, professionals in cider for that. So I'm wondering what script are you using for judging the ciders? Is that clear?
It's a very, on the beer side, you do use the BJCP, but we basically, again, only have trade buyers judging. So we don't have people who've gone through the BJCP process. We're asking buyers, would you buy for that price, that specific piece. On the cider side, same process. We are using, again, the 10 categories, the American Cider Association, and we're also using other categories from overseas that way in the same situation, trade buyers. And would you buy it for bronze, silver, gold, double gold? We try to make it very clean and easy. It's a consensus decision, as I mentioned earlier. It is a panel of judges who are judging the liquid. We're not here to reinvent the wheel, so we try to use the same categories other people use.
Mm-hmm. So when, if there was a judge there, they would receive that cider, and they would know what that cider typically sells for retail? Is that right? Is that how the price point comes in? And then based upon their assessment and what they know about their market, then they say, okay, well, I'm not sure if this is a $7 bottle of cider or $20 bottle of cider. That's it, kind of in a nutshell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically, would you buy for that price? Mm-hmm. We try to keep it very clean. There's no so-called experts. It's people who actually buy for a living and run, who are, you know, run that craft beer cider bar, who are the retail store buyer, who's the distributor, who's the importer. Mm-hmm. Would you buy that price, that retail price?
Now, my thought is that this would be a good place to make the connection and networking with potential distributors and buyers. So if you're based in New York for this competition, but if this is a cidery in San Diego or the Pacific Northwest or Michigan, Virginia, that this would be an opportunity to showcase ciders that the trade judges wouldn't normally be in their access. Is that true? Would that be one way to think about it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we definitely have judges. We definitely have ciders coming from around the world. And as I mentioned earlier, around 15 to 18% of people submit to our competitions, not even available in the United States, mm-hmm. and looking to get into the United States. You have people from Wisconsin and San Diego trying to get into the New York market. And you don't have to be in the New York market to be in the competition. But a lot of times we find the winners who win from Wisconsin or California or from Georgia, they're very proud of their wins from our competition, because again, it's a trade buyer focused competition. It's for the trade.
Right, right. Great. Now, I know that you're going to be at CiderCon in the area, which is, and let me just catch up listeners with that, which is the United States Association of Cider Makers annual conference. Is taking place in Baltimore, Maryland, January 30th through February 2nd. And Adam, you're going to be having a booth in the vendor area, which is open to everyone attending. Can you tell us a little bit about what, if a maker wants to come and talk to you about the competition, would there still be time to enter at that point? Or do you have a deadline for entries into the one coming up in February, which is shortly after CiderCon?
Well, I'm actually very excited to go to CiderCon this year. Actually, my schedule works out this way, so I'm very excited about attending. I will have a tabletop there. I'm also going to announce, if I may, if you bring me your ciders to the show, I'll bring them back to the competition. So the deadline to send the stuff to the competition is, I think it's February 4th or 5th. But if you want to hand carry and drop your bottles off to me at the show, I'll take them back with me to the competition. Cut down your shipping costs that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm very excited to talk about the competition with the people there. Looking forward to talking to a lot of people at CiderCon. Very excited about attending. I was actually down in Baltimore last year for ADI, the Craft Distillers Association. I was very excited to meet people there. So I'm very excited, happy that Baltimore is hosting another great conference this year.
Yeah, well, CiderCon is just an amazing event. I mean, it's a collection of not just U.S. makers, but folks coming in from around the world with amazing workshops. So you're in for a treat if you haven't been to this huge cider conference before. And we will definitely be letting makers know this leading up to CiderCon, that they could bring you ciders to your booth and connect with you. And again, anyone listening, there'll be links in the show note to contact Adam directly to set that up, because folks will be flying in, and this is just a great way to really hand deliver ciders there. I hope you're coming down with a large van or something.
We will find space and drive slow.
That sounds great. Well, anything else you'd like to mention about your other competitions while we're here chatting away?
Yeah, I mean, so if you have a chance to also, please check out internationalbeveragecompetitions.com. You'll see all our competitions we run. Again, we have New York Beer, Wine, and Spirits. We have Berlin, which is in March 4th. For my Berlin competition, we're doing free shipping to Berlin.
Okay.
So if you have a cider producer who wants to go to Europe, we have free shipping to Berlin competition.
And how does that differ from the New York competition? You're going to have cider at the Berlin competition. But why cider there instead of New York? Because it's different judges?
It's a different judges. It's European judges. Judges from around Europe.
Okay. What's your deadline for that one?
I think it's also like February 4th.
Okay. All right.
So we're telling people that if you want, to send stuff to us for the competition, you can send twice the amount. One goes to New York, one goes to Berlin. Make one shipment to us. We'll divide up.
I didn't quite understand what was going on with Berlin, but now I get it. That there is another cider competition there, but now it's the Berlin International competition.
We have Melbourne in June, and the Asia competition will be in the fall. We believe we're the only international competitions out there where, again, all the trade buyers are buyers. And so all the judges are trade buyers and judged by price, which we think is very important. And we have a lot of distributors and importers call me at a lot of competitions, asking what's hot, what's new, what did you find, what did you discover? And we enjoy being that portal of information back to the distributors and importers and the retailers, saying what's new, what's hot, what's great, what really stood out for you. Besides looking at the results, they look at the results, they ask, they call me. And I get these calls all year round. And I'm happy to be that type of resource in the industry. And we're very happy to be where we're at. We're respected because of our site and what we do.
On this week's podcast, I'm talking to you, and episode 107 is out on the Cider Junction. And I was talking up the competition and mentioning that, you know, you became a sponsor of Cider Chat during this period of time, and I really appreciate that. And what I said to listeners is that, you know, I feel a bit selective about that. And what really caught my attention about this particular competition and why I wanted to work with you is that I think the information that commercial makers are going to receive is so valuable. So often, especially a year or two ago, and even now, I felt like the pricing for cider was just all over the map. And some ciders coming on the market, there was just a flurry of it, and not necessarily at a price point that I thought it should have been. And then some I thought, holy smokes, this is an amazing bottle of cider. And I think because right now there's such a flush of ciders and the excitement is there, but there's not a lot of info for the industry on how to price, and is that holding makers back, and is it having an impact on the consumers? That is really, really key. And again, you could have the most beautiful product in the world, but if you can't get it to the folks who want to consume it, then you're kind of just treading water. So I was really excited about that, and hoping that this will provide information to everyone out there in the cider trade for moving forward. Eventually, my hope is that you will become so successful. I see that last year you had 400 ciders. Are you shooting for, or 400 submissions, right? Are you shooting for a certain amount of submissions that it would cut off where you would actually branch off into another competition for cider, which is my hope, if you can't tell?
Listen, this is good feedback. And I like to also engage people at CiderCon, because that's how I learn. I mean, how we tweaked this competition. When I first did the competition, the spirits competition 9 years ago, we did a price band. For example, let's say $30 to $45 for Irish whiskey. Because of the feedback we got from the producers and the judges, we tweaked and tweaked and tweaked and tweaked. And talking to the Cider Association, and talking to the Sake Sochu people and everybody else, that's how we get better. So if I get that type of feedback from the people at CiderCon saying, we want to make this have a separate cider competition this way, I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. If I get the feedback for that, I'm all for it for this year. in the coming years going forward. The exact number amount, I mean, submission-wise, we're almost there. I think with the, working with you guys, Insider Chat, and talking to Insider Association people, I think we're at the, almost there to make that move to happen.
That is exciting. Well, I'm really thrilled to have this opportunity to get a little bit more info and to kind of clear up some of the things that I was wondering about. And for anyone out there in Siderville listening, you know, this is a pivotal moment when you have somebody like Adam willing to do all that he is and have a very unique competition.
Key thing is that I want to make sure any producer who submits to my competition, whether it's New York, Berlin, Melbourne, Hong Kong, your beer, mead, cider, soju, absinthe, whatever it may be, that you're judged in the right category in the right way. That's the most important thing to us, that you're judged in a clean, respected competition in the right way. And that's the most important thing. And if anyone has any questions, reach out to us. Our website number is obviously nybeercompetition.com. Our phone number is 917-338-0163, extension 1. Yes, you can call me. Send me an email at info@nybeercompetition.com. And hopefully come see me in person, face-to-face at CiderCon also at my table.
Go to the show notes for this here episode number 108 and find the contact info for Adam if you're not heading to CiderCon. Otherwise, if you are heading to CiderCon this coming January, meet him in person and bring your cider. Bring enough cider to also ship it out to Berlin. This is like super win-win. And I'm hoping that you got the sense like I do, or the hit that I get, that this is a great way to keep on helping cider go up, both in the eyes of the consumer. And the way you do that is by getting the folks who buy cider to catch their attention. And the double whammy here that I think is going to really help the trade is that we're going to get an idea on the price point, where that is. I know that there are many people out there kind of scratching their heads saying, did I price that right? And in the end, that's going to be essentially whether or not the cider gets bought. So we have a lot of good information here, and I hope it was helpful for you and to hear a little bit about Adam and how open he is to getting this category really front and center. The fact that he's also willing to have a branch off from this competition. I think we really need a New York International Cider Competition, don't you? Whew, what a great opportunity. So I really appreciate his time, appreciate his sponsorship. And if you want to find out more info, again, go to the links in the show note for this here episode number 108. I'd like to say thank you and welcome to William and Josh, who both became patrons recently of a Cider Chat. And what that means is that they join this page called Patreon, where they help support the chat monthly, and it could be as low as $1. And if you're a commercial cidery, it's like $32 a month. And we have some commercial cideries who have been part of that for a while now, such as Ramborn Cidery in Luxembourg. That's the country, Luxembourg, right? Next to Belgium, France, Germany. We also have Big Fish Cider Company in Monterey, Virginia, and Current Cider in Pennsylvania. So there's a whole scale of becoming a patron, and it's workable. Whatever you can do, if you think that this podcast is worth a listen of your time for an hour, then please do consider supporting it and helping me keep this podcast rolling out weekly to you with so many amazing stories and connections around Ciderville throughout the land, right? So become a patron today. And there's about 25 patrons now. And next week, I'll be going live with something that first went out to the patrons. And it's going to be my little holiday gift to all of you. So that'll be a fun little piece of technical info. And for the patrons, they're getting a even longer chat next week that will be just specific for patrons. And so that's kind of in that hood there. So it's special. These are different ways that I try to keep the podcast going, and really saying a big thank you to the many people who really support the podcast. And there's a lot of you out there. I want to say thank you to all the, like, the little social media on Instagram, the stories that come, the highs that I receive, or when you're tagging Cider Chat here or there on Twitter. At Twitter, I am at Cider Chat. There's a Cider Chat Facebook page, which is really nice to see who's joining. A lot of new people we'll be catching up with, welcoming all them soon. And also, of course, Instagram, which is Cider Chat Ciderville. That means the world to me. Probably like you, it could be a little lonely out there. You think you're doing, like, why am I doing this week after week? You know, my hands are cold. I'm picking apples, or, you know, I'm trying to get people to taste this at a store where everybody just wants to drink craft beer. You know, whatever it is that you're doing to help cider get reached out to the world, or just enjoying a good glass that you made yourself, or somebody's glass of cider that they produced on their orchard-based cidery or at their urban cidery. All these little steps that we do to enjoy the abundance of Ciderville. And there is a lot out there. I think we have to really keep that in mind, to really keep our mind in abundance and not scarcity. It's so important. And it means a lot to me to hear all the hey's and thank yous and little tags along the way. I do notice that. Probably don't say that enough, but I really, really notice it. So thank you so much. Between now and next week, I know it's a busy time. We're coming up on the new year. I'm just wishing you all the best. I hope that you are healthy, happy, and that abundance keeps on raining down your way in all the best ways possible. I'm going to roll out of here now, Ciderville. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off just for now. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Yeehaw!